Blog Talk Radio.
The Lord is so amazing. God has truly been amazing. The love He showed me when He sacrificed His only Son. And what a blessing Christ Jesus in me. I'm all I am because of what the Lord has done. It's so amazing to be loved by the Holy Spirit, Father and the Son. Yes, the Lord's amazing love, my God. I was lonely, filled with sorrow, no love today, and there was no hope for tomorrow. But Jesus healed me, yes, He saved me. Save me from the grip of death and the grave. It's so amazing to be loved by the Holy Spirit, Father and the Son. It's the Lord's amazing love, my God.
Channel episode of The Woman at the Well. I am your host, Beverly Black Johnson, and it is my honor, privilege, and pleasure to welcome you back to another episode of The Woman at the Well, discussing real life issues, circumstances, and just good old testifying about how good and gracious it is to be loved. That was the incomparable Sheila Ray Charles, daughter of the R&B legend Ray Charles, and she is going to flat out kill me. I love her dearly, and she is amazing, and you will hear her live on Tribe again soon. She is one of our repeated guests. It gives me a great honor and privilege to welcome Karen Washington to the show today. And just to give you a little bit of background about Karen, without telling too much, Karen is the author of the soon forthcoming book, rose from out of the ashes. Karen will be discussing her book about a tragic story of survival and triumph. Karen was set on fire amid a situation that went above her head. No one could have ever imagined this tragedy would literally be the turning point that would hurl her into a life of ministry. She refuses to let what happened to her be a crime in vain. And her story will be shared in a forthcoming book under the Gumbo for the Soul Publications brand. Karen, how are you today, my girl, my sister?
I am nervous.
You're at home. You can be nervous here at home, you know, but you don't have to be. You know, he tells us to fear not, honey, and we are just so honored that God has kept you for such a time as this and beyond, because we know that there's a great calling over your life, over your life, over your life. So tell me, how has your day been today? We know, you know, that you trudge forward as your testimony is living proof. But how is today, just for today, because we take it one day at a time?
Well, you know, Beverly, today is really awesome. You never know what is around the corner, because God has a plan that where he can see around the corner. And when you continue to walk and do what you need to do in life, you know, it's just like one minute you're doing this, and all of a sudden you're catapulted in something else. And that is what I have to say about today right now.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought last week that I would be talking to you right now. Last week, you couldn't have told me. You couldn't have paid me to think that, next week I'll be talking to folks or I'll be sharing what I've gone through today. But I know my God has a plan for me. To be honest, I've been running from what he had shown me, you know, a long time ago. So, he has a way of sitting us down and getting
you
our
know,
attention.
Amen. Amen. You better testify, my sister.
For the last 20 years, I was like, okay, I hear you, you know. But it's at a point right now. Enough has happened to me that I understand that I need to sit down and be still and let him do what he needs to do in my life, and allow him to show me basically why things happen the way they did. You know.
Well, we're gonna get more into that, and I just want to tell you that we thank God for the calling over your life, because there is nothing like what you're doing, and that is testifying about what he brought you through, and you have a grace and a certain strength that needs to be displayed and needs to be commended and needs to be told, so that right here testifying, someone else can gain the type of strength that it took for you to get through what you got through, to help them to get through what they're going through. And so that is why we are gathered here today at the well. You know, God has a great calling over his creation. And so he is no respecter of persons. The rain falls on the just and the unjust, and some more than others. But we do know that in John, in the book of John, chapter 4, verse 1 through 39, on Jesus' way to Samaria, he met a woman at the well. The apostles had gone off to get some food, and, you know, they could have stopped and got the food when they came into town, when they passed by all the stores. But see, it is written, and it was an appointed time. So this as well is an appointed time. So you can't run from God. I know last week you didn't see yourself here, but God saw you here around the corner, like you just testified. And here we are. So I am so, again, honored and grateful that you have aligned with God, and that this all lines up together, so that we can get your story and your testament of strength and triumph out there. And so to that end, let's talk about some of your story. You know, as you stroll backwards, it says in, and we'll repeat for our audience who's just tuning in, you are listening to The Woman at the Well with Karen Washington. Her forthcoming book, Rose from Out of the Ashes, is a testament of the strength and the courage and love that God has shown in her life, having been set on fire and having rose through those flames to this point where she is ready to testify and tell her story. And to that end, from that book, you say, as I stroll backwards through the many miracles of the past year, I am in total awe of how my higher power has taken every disappointment and turned them into the most beautiful daydream. That is so beautiful. And it speaks biblically of all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. So speaking of your higher power, tell us about you arriving at the point of recovery. When you first got into recovery, what was that feeling like? Because we know that we start over where we left off. And for me, just a little bit of history about me, I survived 8 years being on crack. I am now going on 23 years crack free. So I picked up where I left off as a writer. So in 1992, on February 24th, 1992, you know, my pen is back in my hand because that was the breaking point that I entered into my freedom. So how did you feel entering in sobriety? Where did you pick back up at? Where were you? Where did you start back at? Was it writing?
Well, actually, right at this point, I have my clean date is January 12th, 2012. So at this time, I'm working on 3 years.
Hallelujah.
But I've been at this thing for at least 20 years, going on 20 years. I've had 4 years twice. I came to Vegas after the fire 2.5 years, and now I'm on the working on the 3 years. And so my recovery
and one day at a time.
So one day at a time.
Amen and praise God.
It's been a process, and I truly believe my recovery has been a healing. As to what needed to be healed at the time, it healed when it healed. I couldn't rush it. I couldn't force it. I just had to let my higher power do what he needed to do. But I think this time around, the foundation has been set. I know that I have to stay in recovery. I have to attend meetings. I stay close to the herd, as they say, stay in the middle of the herd. So what I do now, I just stay close to those that are trying to stay sober. You know, I have to give that to my higher power because, you know, they talk about not being able to stay sober without a spiritual connection. And that's what I lost. Every time I went back out, I lost that connection with my higher power. I knew he was there, but I couldn't function with him doing the things that I'm supposed to do. I have children, I have responsibilities, and I wasn't able to do that. But today I'm doing that.
Praise God. We're going to get into that because we know you talk about that in your book, Rose from Out of the Ashes, and we are so looking forward to that. Thank you for sharing that, and congratulations, 2.5 years, one day at a time. Do you people, do you know how hard it is to get one moment at a time, much less 2.5 years? So I salute you for that. And God has set you back on a wonderful path. In your book, you talk about, you know, that feeling you feel when you're like you're dreaming, but you're wide awake. And your season of despair is over and on your way, you know, through your recovery. That is such a load off your back. That is a monkey, an ape, a gorilla off your back. So for anyone that is going through anything, to our listeners that are listening, if anything is preventing you from a life of happiness, freedom, just the goodwill of livelihood and what God intended for you, reach out, find recovery in the area of your need, whether it's abuse, domestic violence, alcohol, drugs, anything that could be keeping you from God's calling for your life. And I don't care what denomination or background you come from, God has a calling over his creation. And as the creator, we can line up with that and walk in the boldness of that. And so I am so thankful for your being back on that journey of recovery and being back into your life. So we understand in your book that you lost your mother. What was your relationship like with your mother? And not to go into a lot of details, because we're going to get the book.
No, that's right. Well, you know, Mom, we were estranged. I want to be perfectly honest and transparent. We were estranged, but after the fire, and I moved to Vegas, we began the dialogue, and we kept up with each other. But I think it was 97. She's 2007. On Mother's Day, she called, and we found out that she admitted to me that she was sick. So, you know, during this time of healing after what happened to me with the fire, it was kind of hard because I always was trying to get home. But God had me in Vegas for it. I was trying to get home. So October of last year, October was a year, she went home to be with our father. And, you know, I don't have any regrets.
And may she rest in peace.
I know I did the best I could with what I had to work with. But I hope that she is looking down now and is proud that I didn't give up.
And she absolutely is. And, you know, this is what the well is all about. It is all about the transparency of testifying. The woman at the well, she did good, because when God asked, when Jesus, God, the Spirit, all three in one, but when Jesus asked her about her husband, and she said she wasn't married, you know, he told her, you did well to answer, you know, honestly, no, the man you're not with is not your husband, and you've had the other men before, so, you know, five husbands before. So it's about being able to be transparent and testify, because Jesus knows all things, okay? He knows there's no Santa Claus. He's waiting for the kids to find out. We got to tell him. He knows all things. And we are gifted and blessed to be able to be that transparent. And so with that being said, I too will be transparent with you. My relationship with my mother was so strained that I was ostracized, and I didn't even get to go to my mother's funeral. The first time I shared that, the first time I shared that was actually on a radio show that aired last Monday, 2 days ago, actually. I interviewed with Cheryl Donovan Lacey, Cheryl Lacey Donovan, beautiful spirit, and she and Elisa Gabrielle produced More Than Ruby's Radio. And it is it's a different feeling when you have a strained relationship with someone that you love dearly, but all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord, and she is with the Lord, or they are with the Lord, and we have to know that it is now with a spiritual disposition that they can look at us and
see and be proud and know what they know now, what they didn't know then. And so I feel that my mother and that your mother is watching over us, down upon us, and saying, you know, that's my girl. And look at her. She is turning out to be something else. I did the best with what I had. And look at her doing the best with what she had. Hallelujah, because
that's all we can do.
The best with what we have. And who will judge whether it was our best? No one can walk up to us and really, really, really say we're not doing our best unless they saw a different side of us or see a different side of us. So for those that don't know us, no one can tell you whether it's your best, whether it's mediocre, whether it's the greatness that you aspired. You're where you're supposed to be at this given time and moment, and it's between you and God. The rest is between you and God. Nobody can judge you. So, and we're not being judged. The ones that have been called home now, they're not looking down on us and say, you know what, be doggone. Look at, you know, none of that. They are not in the position of judgment, and neither those that are walking on this on the earth. So I'm not in the position of judgment.
None of them on earth have a heaven and hell to put me in, and I keep reminding myself. I have to know that, you know, my Father has my back, and he's going to gear me and steer me and show me the way, and I have to follow his lead. Although he uses people to help us, but by the same token, or even chasten us, but by the same token, I have to go with what he's shown me. And you say you know them by the fruits, and he, your fruits are berries. Your tree is bearing fruits. I am so blown away.
Amen, amen, amen. Go ahead and testify. And then additionally in your book, you're talking about as your past has shown you, I may not make it back through the gates of hell and find recovery again. So I make my last and final vow fueled by my desire to honor, fueled by my desire to honor my mother's death. And you're really honoring, your mother's legacy. Let me take a drink of water. One moment. All right, I am back. Sorry about that, folks. I'm at the well, so I might as well have a drink, right?
Out
of the well. There is no front in here because, you know, the devil is a liar. So additionally in your book, you're going on to say, you know, if I never sing, record another song, or see my published memoirs in the nearest Barnes and Noble, I must and forever sense in my innermost self that I am a real alcoholic and I can never go back to being a normal drinker. And you'll never go back to being anyone that settles for less than the great calling over your life as well. Now tell us about the meaning of your book, Out of the Ashes. Obviously, as you state in your book, you're the survivor of a vicious attack when you were in another region here in California. We're not going to repeat where you are now, but, you know, you're no longer in this neighborhood, and this was in San Francisco, California, where I was born, and I grew up 6 years in the Bayview Hunters Point neighborhood that you speak of in your book, and we know that around Thanksgiving 2005, so we're approaching the anniversary of the fire. So tell us about not just the obvious reasons for the title of your book, Rose from Out of the Ashes, but tell us about how you came up with the title in the sense Rose, how a rose relates to honoring your mom, the rose that you mentioned of your life. We had a conversation, and you were telling me that, you know, that was a phenomenal connection. And, you know, I'm believing that that is the presence of your mother in this.
Well, I spoke with a high school friend of mine about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, and I'd asked her about helping me with this because I struggled
struggled with getting this done. And we talked a little bit about what had happened, and we didn't go into detail, and she just was like one word, and she said Phoenix. And then I researched a little bit about that and found out that it's out of the ashes that the Phoenix comes.
Uh-huh.
And so that's where Out of the Ashes came. And as I began to develop the title, I do have to be honest, I have to research a little bit, can't take no one else's name. So I created Rose. And Rise, Rose, Risen.
Uh-huh.
Rose was something that came up just recently. I spoke with my publisher, you, and
Gumball for the
full
publication job. Shameless plug.
I remember on my mother's obituary, they had printed roses on her obituary on the little pamphlet thing they give you.
Oh,
yeah. And as we spoke about it, I was like, that's it. You know, I've been pretty knowledgeable for the last 10 years on hearing my father's voice. And I don't need to question when he says I need to do this, that, and the other. Like I spoke before, that this has been a long week about what I've been through for a long time. So it's done. It's a done deal.
And we are so honored.
That's
go
it.
Ahead.
That's
I'm
all,
sorry.
That's all. So, but yeah, that's how that came about. But and then yeah, of course, you know, I was on fire.
Before you go into that, because that's what we're going to talk about next. And, you know, I just wanted to make sure that we did unveil as much as we, you know, could in as far as how the title came about and how it ties into your mother. And we honor her, absent from the body, is present with the Lord. And I feel that also is a spiritual connection that she is, you know, right here with you, sort of like wind beneath your wings, and that it is time and that you are aligned for such a season. And so, you know, I really want to thank you for allowing Gumball for the Soul Publications to publish your work. You know, your story, it's your testimony, and it's your trial, your how you achieve triumph out of a trial, and a horrible trial at that. But I do believe that God is going to raise you and lift you so high and far beyond this, to a point where the world will be, as they are now, listening, looking forward to reading your book, and looking forward to really, really gaining strength, because everyone is going through something. I don't care where they sit and how they sit and how much money they're sitting on and what morals or lack of, everyone struggles with something. So through the struggle that you're testifying about here today, for our listeners who are just tuning in, this is The Woman at the Well. I am Beverly Black Johnson, live on Tribe Family Channel, discussing with Karen Washington, the forthcoming author of Rose, From Out of the Ashes, having been set on fire and having survived to testify about it here today. So with that, we are going to go into what happened that fateful day almost a year ago, or excuse me, almost the anniversary of. In your book, you said flames begin to cover my body, and as they say, I tucked and rolled off the couch trying to put myself out. What happened next and leading up to what you saw in disbelief? Tell us from the part where you rolled off the couch.
The person who did this, Douglas Johnson, he was known as W. Fresh off of 3rd Street and Bayview's Turner's Point. He began to punch me, kept punching me, because I was screaming so loud that, you know, shut up, you know, that type of, a, you know. And And then my shirt came off, and then that's when I it was more of like you seeing someone else or disbelief, you know. And then I went into the bathroom because that particular room had a bathroom, and I went into the bathroom and I looked at myself, and I held my arm up, my left arm up, and the skin was hanging off. So it was like, okay, this has happened. And so he got me.
Well, wait before you go on. Wait before you go on, because that's another page of your book, Rose from Out of the Ashes. So let me read what you just described.
Mm-hmm.
Flames begin to cover me. So as they say, I tucked and rolled off the couch trying to put myself out. And we haven't gone through the entire book as far as how the layout is going to work. So, you know, it's forthcoming. I don't want people to think that they're going to read this exact chapter the way we're conveying it to them today. But you're saying that at the same time, you had rolled off the couch, you were trying to put yourself out, and he was hitting the center of your body, or you were trying to put yourself out, hitting the center of your body with your left arm. At the same time, you were screaming at the top of your lungs, and he was punching you to shut up. Pulling off your shirt, you made it to the dressing room bathroom, and you saw a part of yourself in the mirror. In disbelief, the sight of my hanging skin brought tears to my eyes. My left arm had the skin hanging from it. All I could think about is that I need to get to the hospital. So this is so horrific. I can't even imagine what could be going through your mind about being at the hands of someone that would do something so horrific. And we're not going to bring up his name again, or we're not going to mention what his disposition is, because it is in the book. But you got to the hospital. On that drive to the hospital, all you could remember doing is arguing with the person, not mentioning their name, but all you could remember doing was arguing with the person, and you were responding to his questions, what happened, and you're saying, just get me to the effing hospital. You pull into the ER, and he carried you through the doors. The person that got you to the hospital actually picked you up and carried you in, or
yes.
You okay?
Yeah, got me out. Okay. Out of the passenger side, and got me in, and then they put me on the gurney. And from what I understand, he was hemmed up. I guess they thought he did it, but then I laid down, and they took care of me.
Okay. And so then at this point at the hospital, you lied about the accident, and we're not going to go into that. They can read the book. But you lied about the accident, and
I lied about what really happened.
Right. And then, okay. You told them that you were cleaning a glass table with a cigarette in your mouth or something like that. And so then at that point, the IV was placed in you, and that was the last thing you remembered of that horrible day. The main memory of this event was the dreams or vision I had when I was under an induced coma. So let's talk about the induced coma. How long, and don't go into too many details on the fire anymore, but how long were you in a coma? And we don't want to talk about what you envisioned in the coma for the lack of time. And again, we're talking with Karen Washington about her book, Rose from Out of the Ashes, soon forthcoming from Gumbel for the Soul Publications. How long were you in the coma?
4 months, 30 days. It went from Halloween to Thanksgiving.
So from Halloween to Thanksgiving, you were in a coma, an induced coma, and did you, when you woke up, did you remember at that point what had happened and where you were at that very moment?
Oh, yeah, I remembered everything. I remembered everything. I didn't, there was nothing missing. I had a memory on that.
I didn't think
anything that had happened after I was under, though. A lot had happened while I was under.
Okay, a lot of, I can imagine 30 days, 30 minutes. A lot of things can happen in 30 minutes, so 30 days, and praise God that you awakened from the coma, because even in a induced coma doesn't guarantee waking up. So from Halloween to Thanksgiving, and this is the time of the year that we are in right now, because Halloween just passed and Thanksgiving is coming up. So we are right in the middle of this very season of your life where this is happening. So now tell me, after you came out of the coma, did you ask, or did you, when was the soonest that you wanted to look in the mirror again?
Well, I was unable to move. I couldn't move. I was not, you know, I was been still for 30 days, so I couldn't do anything. I could barely talk. I could barely feed myself. So I wasn't able to look in the mirror. The mirror deal didn't come to about 2 months later, because I had to do skin grafts. Thanksgiving was my 2005. Thanksgiving was my last skin graft surgery, and that's when I finally told what really happened. But I couldn't, but I learned. Me and the nurses would teach me how to do. I would learn how to do my dressings and what have you. So it was hard, but I made it work.
So Thanksgiving, praise God. So Thanksgiving 2005, you had your last skin graft, and it is on. Let's see. Let me go to your book. It was the person's name that did this to me. Okay, so this is Thanksgiving night, and this happened, let's see, by that Sunday, following Thanksgiving, they had caught the person. They came with a photo, and you were able to identify him. So now, let's see, I'm trying to see. Okay, so in 2005, and here we are in 2014, so almost nine years to the date, you are telling what happened, who did it, what really happened, and who did it, and now you're on the radio testifying about it and about to have a book come out. And God is working miracles in your life, my sister. So I want to commend you for the strength and for the ability to come through that, from out of the ashes, through an induced coma, into the light of the truth of the matter and what happened. And then we're up to the point of, you remember your grandmother Opal, and your auntie Catherine. Now, tell me about the conversation with your grandmother and your aunt, and about that. Let's talk about family and the love that you received from, you know, a visit from your grandmother.
Well, during this time in the hospital, after I got Coleman had the surgery, and they no longer kept me under, I just went through, you know, the process of healing. My grandmother came to see me, and Aunt Kathy came, and my grandmother is an ordained minister. She has a fivefold gift, and she prayed that I wouldn't get any infections. That was her main theme, and that my left arm, the one I was using to put me off, was locked in a fist position. so she, Spirit spoke and said that that would move slowly, and that, of course, eventually that all moved slowly, and I was able to regain usage of that. But while I was under, I want to just mention this one thing, because when I talked, seen my auntie, because while I was under, for some reason, the spirits was trying to tell me my mother was dead and she had passed. And when I seen my auntie, the first thing I asked her was, is mom dead? Did something happen? And she said, no, mom is okay. But I think that's probably something that was showing me that, you know, what the future, you know. I mean, we all got to die, but we, you know.
Right.
I mean,
right. But for that to cross your mind during
that
period of time.
Cause
that,
and you, we had always. Since
no,
we
go
had
ahead.
Always
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Since we had been so estranged, you know, I always longed to be. So I, you know. Being in recovery, it's hard. It's not easy because you go through these bouts with slipping and relapsing and all that stuff. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to get back. And sometimes you go back, get back, and then something didn't happen. And that was a lot of my fears, that I'd be out and then something happened. I couldn't get to them, you know. But
amen. Amen.
But they show the love by showing up. And,
amen.
And show the support.
Right. They showed the love and the support, and that is so important, because it's one thing to be in the disposition that you were in and to be in the hospital and to see all the faces that are able professionally and therapeutically, medically, to be able to take care of you and care for you, but there is nothing like seeing someone that loves you, that is connected with you in blood and in life, that our family or extended family that really, really care about you, that can work wonders for your healing, because you've got to get back to them. And for you to ask whether your mother had passed, and you're laying there fighting for your life, and you didn't say, am I going to live? You are a woman of God. I'm going to tell you that, because you already know and you already knew God's calling over your life. You didn't seem to display the fear of your own life or death situation as much as wanting to get to your mother and know that, you know, and I'm like you, in and out of county jail and off and on recovery here and there. My prayer was that, you know, God, please don't let me die out here before I can get my children and raise them into adults with morals of value. You know, it's something about being in the life. And you know you're treading on thin ice. You know you're out there treading on thin ice. For anyone who is listening right now and you are living in a life of addiction, you're treading on thin ice. And I'm saying this as a testimony, not as a judgment. Okay, I was out there for 8 years treading on thin ice, so I know what thin ice looks like. And I pray for you that you would take the next step, whatever you feel in your heart that will lead you into sobriety and a life of freedom, of freedom from the addiction. And it's not going to be easy. It is not going to be easy. It is easier to get high than it is to stay clean. So if you want the easy way, keep getting high. It leads to hell institutions and death. Get sober, get hard about living and being strong and seeing what you're made of. And so we know that you're a strong woman of God. Thank God for coming out of the coma, your family being there. Now let's get pages and go to coming close to death was a crazy feeling and the one that would take a long time to get over. Are you overcoming that close to death, or do you have any feelings about, you know, what your purpose for now today? Because we're running out of time, and I want to make sure that we get a feeling for the strength and the power of the woman you are today.
physically I'm back on track. Chocolate cake is an issue for me too. So you talk about addictions, I have an issue with that too. But other than that, I'm fine. At this
That's
point,
funny.
Oh no, yeah. See, just yeah, okay.
So we know what to bribe you with. I got some chocolate cake.
So once you got some kids, see, the addiction started way before the Southern Comfort. So, you know,
come on now.
Have to keep it as real as possible. Physically, I'm okay, but mentally, I believe my higher power and my Father in Heaven has healed me enough to share. Allow what has happened to be a strength to other folks, my family especially, my children especially. So I think there's other things I might have to deal with before the fire. No, I'm good. And I put that on everything
God.
I love. And I tell you one thing, I have to wake up every day and take my showers and look at my body and see what I've been through. So to say that, I feel and know that it's true. I thank my Holy Spirit for giving me the words to say because I'm good. I just know I can't go that direction. I got to go that direction. So, you know, I don't know. It does blow me away every time I say, oh, I was set on fire, but I know God has had a plan for it, and I know he has a reason for it, and he allowed it to happen to wake me up, and I just know that I know many other people have gone through what I've gone through and way more worse than I have. And then to say that, that's even horrible to know, but it's true. A lot of people go through so much stuff out there, and I just pray that any inch or any word of my story, if it can help someone bring them to the Father, I've finished my assignment. That's one of my main prayers, too, is to finish my assignment on earth before I'm called home.
And he will see to that. He will see to that because it is written. And we thank God for you. We thank God for your testimony here at The Woman at the Well with me, Beverly Black Johnson. For our listeners that are just tuning in, I am discussing with Karen Washington her forthcoming book, Rose, From Out of the Ashes. And in your book you say, there are so many memories that I totally believe shaped me as a person for the good or bad. It took many years to find that balance, that sense of well-being. My 12-step program and had a lot to do with that, as well as detoxing from drugs and alcohol and chocolate cake. And you are also, you know, letting people know that, hey, you know, your head is clear and now you could face what had been done. So you're saying trust God, clean house, and help others is pretty much your mission. So tell us also about one of your favorite family times, watching Disney Channel with Caress. We don't want to leave out the babies. We know. Tell us your babies' names. Give them a shout out and tell us how much you love your babies. I love my babies. They are just, ooh, they bad in. We know y'all bad in. We're going to say that. Y'all some bad ends. But we love you.
Yeah, my son Ezekiel, he's 19. My daughter Sunday, she's 14, and baby Cora, she's 7. And you say my favorite time today is getting her home and hearing all the stuff that she had done throughout the day, whether it's good or bad, because I'm learning that I have to deal with, you know, whatever comes my way. But those are my favorite times with her.
Praise God, praise God. And then here's a excerpt out of your book that I really, 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 really love. You say, it's crazy, but I'm finally in a safe place where I can just breathe and enjoy life. I want to stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to flip that sentence, and I'm going to speak to the audience that may be listening that aren't in that place. And I'm going to say, It may be crazy, but you're not. Mm-hmm. If you're not in a safe place, you can get to it. Take your time and just breathe and let yourself believe that you deserve to enjoy life. Mm-hmm. Look for a source of support and help, even if you're not hearing what you want to hear. Even if no one's co-signing your own behavior, your own excuses, don't allow the excuses to tell you that you don't deserve better, and get to a place, no matter how crazy it is. Karen did it. I did it. Others are doing it, and you can do it too. And it's crazy because me, for myself and I, Beverly, it's crazy, but I'm finally in a safe place where I can just breathe and enjoy life. That can apply to so many if we just reach for it, know that you deserve it. You continue on to say, for the most part, my major goal hasn't changed. I love music. I want to record and write songs. I just know that I could supplement my income with my writings because, see, when you know that you can earn a living with your gift, you got a gift. When you can put that in a book, and also, you know, you can't wait to become a counselor so that you can help the hurting, you know, and let them hear the real knowledge and the power behind what you have to offer to help them. And I know that your ministry is mighty. Because what I do know is that God will take you so far down and you will be tested in such a way that you would have never thought it was all for the digging, for the foundation in which he is building upon and about to erect in your life. So, my sister, I just want to congratulate you on being on this leg of your journey in a safe place, enjoying the time with your family, writing your book, getting ready to join the Speakers Bureau that is forthcoming after the publication of your book, and just really, 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 really being positioned to enjoy your life. And you deserve it so much. And I just honor you, and I really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I thank you for this time here. Is there anything that you would like to add to this discussion, my sister?
Well, I think I would like to give a shout-out to my daughter's father, Marcus Cummings. He was on the radio last week at KPR1 radio.
Mm-hmm.
He's part of an organization. He's created an organization called the Bay Unite, and it's to help families, and it's to help children to know that they can get their hustle on, but in a different way, you know, not selling, not doing those kind of things. But I just want everyone to look out for that too. It, like I said last week, I was listening to him. And all of a sudden now I'm here, and I just want to let my kids know that I love them and that mommy is going to do whatever it takes to take care of them. So, and you're right. If you're out there struggling, just take a step back and call on your higher power to help you get through it.
Amen, amen, amen. Excuse me. And I want to thank our listeners for tuning in to today's episode of The Woman at the Well, brought to you by Tribe Family Channel, A Gumbo for the Soul International, and Bruce George Media Production. You can find us online at gumbofortheSoul.com, BruceGeorgeMedia.com, and, of course, TribeFamilyChannel.com. And visit us and talk to me. Hit me up on Twitter, at TribeFamilyUS. Also, my book is forthcoming, From Crack Addict to Change Agent in 2015. And I also want to thank you, Karen, for being here with me at the well. And I also want you to repeat Marcus's foundation information again and give us the website so that we can visit online.
Okay, well, his the organization is called The Bay United. It's Marcus Cummings. He was on the radio station KPR1. At this time, you just have his number to, if anyone wants to talk to him about it or help out. The phone number is 510-393-2302. That's 510-393-2302.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And again, my sister, I just really, really want to thank you for being such a blessing, for having the strength and the fortitude to go forward, to rise out of the ashes with your book, Rose from Out of the Ashes, a publication coming soon from Gumbo for the Soul Publications. And I just want to remind everyone that you do have a story to tell. Your life is your story. And if you have a desire to publish your memoirs, I would like for you to visit GumboForTheSoul.com or shoot me an email, BeverlyBlackJohnson@gmail.com. And next week I will be interviewing but I will be at the well having a discussion with Gwen Chestnut. Gwen Chestnut is the author of Emotional Feelings of an Inspirational Writer. And we also want to thank our gold, diamond, and platinum sponsors of Tribe Family Channel. You can visit them at tribefamilychannel.com. And a huge, huge shout out to Ms. Nina Burnside of Soul Legacy. Hey, she is the conduit that connected us, and I am just so honored and grateful. And until we meet again, thank you, and just continue to know that God is so amazing.
God has truly been amazing. The love he showed me when he sacrificed his only son. And what a blessing Christ Jesus in me. I'm all I am because of what the Lord has done. It's the Lord's amazing love, my God.